A reading from Psalm 139, verses 1 to 12, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I take my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not night to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you.
And from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat, mending their nets. Immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed. These are our sacred stories. In today's Second Testament passage, Jesus calls to the disciples, come and follow me, and I will make you fish for people. There are many, many stories of call in the Bible. The First Testament is full of call stories, and those who are called almost always respond initially with, "Not me. Surely not me. You weren't thinking of me to do that, were you? Not me." Think about Moses and Jonah and Esther, Jeremiah and Hosea and Amos and Deborah and really all of them. First Testament folks have a dream, see writing on a wall, hear a voice, see a burning bush, and they respond with, "You don't want me to do that. Not me. How about my brother?" Now compare that to the Second Testament. Jesus walks by, says, "Come and follow me," and almost without exception, they get up and follow. They drop whatever they're doing, and they follow. Now, I myself am squarely in the First Testament camp. I was not going to be a minister. As a preacher's kid, I knew a thing or two about ministry, and I was not going to do it. I ran from the ideas that I carried about call, that God would call me to do something particular, but without a burning bush or writing on a wall or voices, so I'd have to figure it out on my own, and the task I could expect to be something very unpleasant. As I've explained to some of you before, in the churches that raised me, there were two options for those who were called into ministry. You could be a prodigal or a Moses. The prodigal testimony was structured on having a whole lot of fun and then hearing God's call to give it all up and follow. You had to stop all the fun in order to go to churches and camps and tell everyone about how you used to have fun until you were called by God. This option was not available to me because I've never had much fun. The Moses testimony was structured on hearing a call from God to do something extremely specific, like go be a missionary in China, and saying no to this call for however many years and however many degrees in school, and then finally surrendering and going. You would eventually return from whatever mission experience you were called to go on in order to go to churches and camps and tell everyone about all the fun you didn't have listening to God's call. This option was available to me, but I managed to sidestep it by learning that one can cuss and be a Christian. A calling to ministry, at least in my youth, meant being someone else, leaving something you loved in order to do something you didn't really want to do. This is why I worked at churches, I interned at churches, I have 3 minors in religion, I went to divinity school, all the while saying that I was not going to be a minister. I didn't want to be someone else. I refused to pretend. Even after learning that I could be progressive and Christian, liberal and Baptist, a woman and a minister, I still resisted. Because I somehow still believed that to be called was to be asked to be something else, someone else. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, before and behind, you lay your hand on me. We are searched and we are known and we are not found wanting. We are known and we are needed with exactly the skills we have, so that we can use those skills in service to ourselves and to each other, in service to our world, to do the work of compassion and love, of healing and hope. Jesus' call to those disciples who knew how to fish was not an invitation to be something else. He doesn't call them to a new occupation. He calls them to use the skills and the talents they already have, but to use them for others. He calls them to fish for people. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fish for people." I'd only ever heard this as an invitation to proselytize, to convert others, to bring them in like fish on a line. But that's not what Jesus and the disciples do after the disciples are called. No, they go from village to village, teaching and healing and showing compassion for crowd after crowd after crowd. They have dinner a lot, sharing meals with those who've been left out and marginalized. It's a good thing they knew how to fish. They travel from town to town, often in boats. Good thing they had fishermen along. Healing and welcoming and teaching about loving our neighbors as ourselves and caring for the least of these. It's not always easy, of course. Jesus regularly challenges the disciples to expand their thinking, to broaden their welcome. The people are hungry, they complained. You give them something to eat, Jesus challenged. The children are bothering you and should be sent away. No, let them come to me. It is to such as these that the realm of God belongs. God knows us as we are, and calls each of us not to be someone else, but to use the self we already are, with the passions we have, with our gifts and our unique perspective. God calls each one of us. Certainly this calling will challenge us, but it won't ask us to be someone other than ourselves. The fishermen are invited to fish not for themselves alone, but to fish for others, to care for others. And we are likewise invited to use our skills and our talents, not for ourselves alone, but for our others, for our world, to follow Jesus in the way of love. I wasted so much time and anxiety thinking of calling as something outside of myself, something that would need me to be someone else, with different passions and different interests and different skills. But that's not what we find in our sacred stories. God's call is for people to use their very selves to do the work of justice and peace. Esther is called to use her position as queen to save her people. Moses is called to use his resources and contacts and connections with Pharaoh to free his people. David uses his skill with a slingshot, skill he no doubt learned tending those sheep. Jesus calls the disciples to fish for people because they're fishermen. This is what they do and what they know. And now they're going to use those skills for others. They will use what they know and who they are for the work of the realm of justice and peace. And the same is true for us. We are called to use the skills we already have for people, for each other and ourselves. Can you hear the calling? Come and follow me and do what you do. Do it for people, for this world. Use your very self and the skills you have for compassion and comfort, for action and activism, for healing and wholeness. As we prepare to ordain and commission our deacons, we prepare to participate in the ancient ritual of laying on of hands. This ritual acknowledges a call heard and accepted. It gives ritual to a decision to follow. Today, as we ordain Trolley, Nancy, Anne, and Nita, we are all invited to come forward and place our hands on their shoulders or head and whisper a blessing. This ritual is open to everyone here today. You do not need to be ordained or a member of this church. You are part of this community, and you are welcome to add your gift of touch and prayer to these new deacons. You're also invited this day to participate in the ritual of communion. As we take bread and dip it in wine or water, may we remember Jesus' sharing of himself when he said to those gathered, "You are searched and known, and you are part of the work of God, work of justice and peace." After the choir sings, a deacon usher will pass your row. If you'd like to participate, please exit to the side aisle rather than the center. Exit to the side and move to the back of the sanctuary for communion. And after dipping bread in wine or water, if you'd like to, please move up the center aisle to lay hands on our new deacons. We are all called, called because of who we are. We celebrate the calling of our deacons today, and we celebrate the call issued to each and every one of us. Amen.